before we get into our gospel reading today, I want to pause again, and we're going to talk about Sabbath. So we're in our second week of our Sabbath series, and so it's this day of rest that God has set before us. And I think about this as we get into the second week. We're doing this Sabbath series as we enter the busy school year, and people have all these activities starting up, or maybe all these activities never stopped, and they just start out at a more vigorous pace than what they did before. So, just to recap, last week we talked about Sabbath, the Sabbath command from Deuteronomy 5. And we also talked about the amount of noise we have coming at us at all times, like whether it's from social media or our phones or all other things. We have all this noise. So we talked about taking a Sabbath, not just from a rest from our labor or our work, but a Sabbath from all the noise, like a technology Sabbath, which is not a new idea, but just to kind of talk about doing that so that we can be more aware of God. So we talked about that last week, and then we also talked about starting small, because if we haven't ever taken a Sabbath to suddenly try to keep a whole day of rest, that can seem overwhelming or too daunting. So we want to start small with creating Sabbath moments each day where we can try to be aware of God. So this week, we already read from Genesis chapter 2 and God creating all of creation. And God looks around at all creation and sees that in the original intent that he created it, it is very good. And then God rests. And Pastor Kara Root writes about Sabbath and Genesis 2. And she notes that God gives three blessings in creation. Three blessings. God blesses the creatures, God blesses the humans, and the one other thing God blesses is the rest itself. So rest is blessed. Rest is blessed by God. Rest is blessed. Let's say that all together. Rest is blessed. Rest is blessed. I think that's something to remember, because a lot of times we feel like we aren't able to rest until all the work is done, or rest is like a reward. But if you go back to the original creation, if you go back to the commandments that were given, rest was actually given as a part of a rhythm of life. So you could rest from sundown one day to sundown the next, whether the work is done or not. Sundown comes and you stop, which I think is incredibly hard to do. Rich Velotas, who wrote a book called The Deeply Formed Life, he compares it to the Food Network, and when they do a cooking competition, everybody's given a certain amount of time to create the recipe. And then when the buzzer goes off, they have to stop and present their work as it is. And he said he kind of thinks of Sabbath the same way, because there's always going to be one more email to send, one more text to write, one more phone call to make, one more thing to get done that we try to get done before the rest comes. But if we practice Sabbath, or Sabbath moments that we actually like write on the calendar or set aside, when it comes, there's this permission for us to try to just stop. And he writes that in the practice of Sabbath keeping, we live out the truth that one day we will leave all things unfinished as we rest in the arms of Jesus at the end of our lives. So finding these Sabbath moments, it kind of helps us remember this vertical relationship we have with God, which is what we often kind of put off and kind of put away when we have so much going on. But we focus in Sabbath on this vertical relationship with God so that we can better live in our horizontal relationships with each other. So that brings us into our gospel reading today, the Gospel of John chapter 15. So I'm going to invite you to stand as we hear this gospel reading, Jesus' words of life for us, as we right now are practicing this hour of rest. So from John chapter 15, Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide or remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. So Jesus speaks these words to his disciples on the night before he dies. He says them to them. He says these words to them after he has just washed their feet in an act of humble and caring service. And so he then says, "Now you shall love one another as I have loved you." And this word about love and remaining in Jesus' love, it also comes right after Jesus lifts up an image of him being the vine and we being the branches. And you can see that up on the screen there, this grapevine. And you can see if a branch is not connected to the vine, it withers. And so Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. But with life with Jesus, we can flourish. He also tells the disciples that they have already been cleansed or already been pruned by Jesus' words, which makes me think that they've already been pruned by Jesus' words, so they already remain in him now and always. So our challenge isn't for us to try to get connected to Jesus. The challenge is for us to realize we have already been connected all along. There's just stuff that gets in the way of that, which brings us back to Sabbath and why we need that time with God. So I was reading a little bit more from this book that Pastor Eric shared with me called The Deeply Formed Life. And the author, Rich Velotis, he tells about a personal Sabbath he took, a Sabbath of 4 months where he withdrew from social media. Now, he is an author, so he's interested in what people are writing about him, what they're commenting about him. And so he talked about deleting apps off his phone and starting to get kind of nervous as he did that and wondering what's going on in the world, what am I missing out on? But he started this 4-month time with 30 minutes of just being in the presence of God. And he writes that this 30 minutes, the purpose was not to get anything out of it. It was to just simply be still and do nothing, say nothing, and be in God's presence. So as he closed his eyes, he began to think about the impact of his work. And questions started to come to him, like, who am I apart from the retweets of what I post and the likes? Why am I so preoccupied with so many people approving and affirming me? And he said, how can I say that my identity is grounded in God's love when I give most of my attention to the approval of other people? And for him, it was the approval of other people he doesn't even know. So he wrote that these questions were answered, but in the form of an invitation to leave those questions behind for something else. And he said, in my absence from social media, he felt like he was disappearing from the world and finding himself in another place, in a place where he was unaware of what was being spoken about him, unaware if anything was being spoken about him at all. And what he said, it was in a very real way, I was leaving the world and the grip that it had on me, but I wasn't leaving for good. For a disciple, to leave the world is to enter back into it from another door, the door of God's love and acceptance, the door of God's way of being. When we find these Sabbath moments, to just be aware that we are in Jesus' love and there's nothing we can do about it, to just experience that, to have that moment where we experience that, is to leave everything else just for a short time so that we can enter back into the world with the eyes of love for ourselves and for the people around us. Now, he does give something helpful, and I think this is really great, because he points out that there are instances where he spends time with God in silence, and he experiences God's love and mercy. I think probably we've all had moments where we've experienced God's love and mercy, and then we go back and we try the same thing again. We'll take a Sabbath time, a quiet time, and we feel like nothing happens. And he says this happens to him as well. There's times when he feels like it was time wasted. And that's just kind of the pattern of Sabbath. But he says, like most of our closest relationships, even in the ordinary moments, the time together is still a gift. So we remember that our rest is blessed. And I almost don't want to say the rest of this because this is so, so rhymy, but I'm going to share it anyway because I think it might stick with us, and we often feel like our rest needs to be earned, but our rest is blessed with the love from above. Can we remember that our rest is blessed at times when we feel guilty for taking a rest or time just to be in God? Our rest is blessed with love from above. And that's what we hear in our gospel reading today. An invitation to be friends with Jesus, an encouragement to live out the same love that he extends to us. I think on the opposite end of that, I remember that I once heard a guy talk about his family growing up, and he shared that his family was full of hate, and he also said bigotry, very against anyone that was not like them. And he said as an adult, he began to meet and become friends with people whom he later learned were the very kinds of people that his dad labeled and hated. And one day he talked to his mom about this, and he told her how he was feeling. And she said to him, very weary, she said to him, I'm so tired of hate. And he said in that moment, he realized how much energy it took to hold on to hate. And he chose to live in a different way. We know that Jesus invites us into this different way, a different life for us in this world, one that's shaped by Jesus' joy. We heard today he wants us to have his joy, a life that's shaped by Jesus' love. One of the members at Calvary was sharing with me how she believes it all comes down to Jesus' love. And I asked her permission to be able to share with you what she had told me, and she said I could. And so here's what I heard. She said that in the midst of all the truths that we hear out there, the most basic truth, the one we can hang on to, is that Jesus loves you. And that sounds so simple, like we might just pass over it, but it's also sometimes the hardest one to trust and believe. Jesus loves you, and there's nothing you can do to make him love you more or make him love you less. And she shared that because of that, she has this goal to try to find something to love in every person, even people that very much have different views than her. Her goal is to try to find something to love in them. And she went on to say she even watches both political conventions, the Republican one and the Democratic one, because she tries to find something to love in all the people there. For they too are people whom God loves. Now that may seem like an impossible action for some of you here, right? But it might also be instructive that what defines us in this life isn't our political party, it's not the work we do or the work we have left undone. It's not any number of things we go to try to define ourselves or figure other people out. But what defines us is that we belong to Jesus already. We abide and remain in him and his love. And no matter how poorly or how well we are going to keep Sabbath, no matter how poorly or how well we remember we are connected to him, his love for us in this world, it never, ever fails. And so, may we find time to rest in Jesus so that it's Jesus' love that shapes how we look at ourselves, so that it's Jesus' love that shapes how we are going to move about and live in this world with one another. Amen.